This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios in New York on CBS Sports Radio. I'm Pharrell with Carver High Mafia. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. I hit so many conference tournament games. I know I made you fat stacks. Why hesitate? Now is the time, more than ever, to sign up for PharrellOnTheBench.com. It's the cheapest handicapping site and the best return. I mean, I'm just going to kill it for you as usual. Thursday through Sunday, get ready. We lose our minds. Great deal. Better picks. PharrellOnTheBench.com. Sign up today. Don't forget, tomorrow morning, episode 175 of Pharrell on the Bets comes out 6:30 Eastern on iTunes. Subscribe free. Trust me. Just subscribe to the podcast. You're going to love it. I mean, every day all I do on this thing is a half hour. I go through all the day's action and tell you who to bet on. I mean, it's a beautiful thing. Subscribe free and follow on Twitter at OnTheBetsWWO. Also, you got Isle Seat Podcast. Carver High does a hockey show for Islander and hockey fans in general. New episode coming out this week, Carver High?
Yeah, probably later in the week, Wednesday or Thursday, right around there.
There you go.
Heading to Philly on Saturday.
Whoa, wait a minute. Development news flash. What do we got here? Breaking news.
Big Islander Flyer event down in the city of brotherly love. A Saturday 1 o'clock game.
So it's just a road trip for Islander fans, or is there a Islander fan base in Philly?
There is a small Islander fan base in Philly, but we've also got a lot of people going down. There's a group
road
of
trip.
Like, group of like 80 of us going.
Road trip? And you're piling them in the cars?
No, I'm staying the night, actually. I'm actually bringing Nicole and Olivia there, too.
Whoa, wait a minute. Even double news flash. You're bringing hot Nicole and Olivia to the hockey game.
Yeah, and then we're staying the night in Philly and going to some museum there Sunday morning. Or
oh,
something.
What a hangover. A little museum with a hangover?
Right.
All right. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4CBS, is brought to you by Geico. Hey, everybody, here's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Do you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance? Do get it all at geico.com. So, Mafia, you like Dallas? Is that what you're telling me?
Love Dallas. Had a great time there. Jerry's World was awesome. Check out. Had a good time at the fight, even though the fight sucked, and then had an even better time yesterday partying.
That was an awful fight, wasn't it?
It was terrible. I mean, we've been to some bad fights with his domination. Even fights that Floyd Mayweather won and kicked everyone's ass, he didn't win every round like that. That was just embarrassing. I mean, Mikey's a tough dude. Good for him for growing up, but he had a terrible showing. And you know what? At some point, he just needed to sell out and go for broke and never really let it go.
So bottom line is you were super disappointed in the fight.
Incredibly disappointed.
It just wasn't even a fight.
It wasn't. It was total domination. It was a clinic.
You missed it. You were at the other end of the arena, but I was down there where this fight broke out. A fight, as usual, broke out in the stands. I'm always telling you that there's more fights at these things than there are in the ring. They break out in the stands left and right at UFC and boxing events. It's just automatic. I mean, it's just, you pray to God it's not in your section where someone clocks you or hits you in the head with something like a beer or whatever. But I saw this fight break out, and I mean to tell you, it was like a mosh pit. You should have seen the sea of humanity just spreading for these two dudes that went at each other. It was crazy this fight broke out. Nuts. But I thought that stadium was unbelievable. I really do. I couldn't believe somebody told me when that thing opened up. It's actually been open for a while. And someone told me, now I didn't know if it was true or not. Was that Steeler? Let's see, the game of the Packers, was that game?
Packers-Steelers Super Bowl was at Jerry's
World. Right, it was at Jerry's World. That was
right,
the first.
They had a big ice storm there.
Right, that was the one they had it, right? So.
No, the stadium's awesome. It was a great event, you know, otherwise. Although the other fights didn't help them out either. You had that one, which was a complete domination, and the other ones that were complete dominations too. But instead of going the distance and doing that, guys were getting knocked out by the third round in most of those fights. So it was going quick. There wasn't much, you know, back and forth action. It was just guys kicking one guy's ass.
So did you stay? Where did you stay? Did you stay there on Sunday night too at that place?
No, we switched hotels to a different one for Sunday night.
So your reservation was up on Sunday?
Yeah.
So you went somewhere else?
We did, yeah.
Where did you go? Just a different place?
This place called the Warwick, which is like a really old one. It was closer to our friend's place, so they booked it for us. And you know, wasn't a situation where they don't have like a ton of room on the couch for us to crash there, so they just booked another hotel for us. And we chilled there and partied in that area.
All right. There you go. And then you got home today? Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah. Took that same flight that you did yesterday. I took it today. Ubered back, got the cars.
Were you surprised that I pulled it off and got up? I never went to bed. I just stayed up. Once I laid down, I was like, you know what? I set my alarm, and I'm like, God, what if I miss this? What if I miss this alarm? And then once I got that going in my head, I just said, screw it. I made a pot of coffee. I drank it, and I stayed up and watched a bunch of old SportsCenter featured, those, like, you know, those heart-wrenching stories they do on ESPN about different people.
Right.
Athletes.
Like 60s and
yeah,
whatnot.
Yeah, they're all like that. So I watched all these stories. And I stayed up all night, and then I drove to the airport. I hung out with Dan Rafael for a while from ESPN, the boxing writer. And then I had breakfast. Then I flew home. I passed out on the plane and got home yesterday afternoon. And I watched basketball all day and hockey. I watched the Penguin Flyer game for a stretch. Didn't Malkin get hurt in that game? I saw he got leveled in the crease, right? Was that when
he got hurt? Yes.
So now he's out with a lower body.
Yeah. And they dropped a really crucial point. You know, they had that game in the bag, and then Flyers tied it and then won it in overtime.
But they lose to the Flyers a lot. They blew the game, the outdoor game, against them, too.
Yes.
Are the Flyers going to make the playoffs
no,
is the question.
They're eight back, I believe, with eight back of Columbus.
Right. So, but you feel still that the Penguins will make it.
Penguins are making the playoffs. That's not a.
So is that a done deal? They're number three in the Metro, right? They're 3 points behind your Islanders and Caps.
And more to what you're talking about, they're seven up on Montreal. With most teams have 10 or 9 games left. So.
Yeah, they're seven up, which is a very refreshing drink, by the way. Yeah, do you think so? Do you think they're safe? You think they'll make it? No problem.
I think that the only teams kind of in question still would be either, you know, Carolina, Columbus, Montreal. Three teams for two spots.
Now, what about Minnesota's only 1 point behind Arizona for that last wild card in the West?
And Arizona is starting I believe they started it either tonight or tomorrow night, or starting a huge East Coast trip.
Okay. Yeah, they play at the Panthers.
They must have been in Tampa
next.
Last night. I think last night they played Tampa.
All right, so I'll tell you what their schedule is, just for shacks and giggles. At least I thought I had it.
It was tonight. They lost 4-1 to Tampa.
Okay, they lost 4-1. You're right. And then they had lost their last home game in overtime to Evans, and then they went to Tampa. They lost. Now they're in Florida, but they're off. How about this? They're off Tuesday and Wednesday, so they're going to be...
I know they're at the Island. The Devils on Saturday and the Islanders on Sunday.
So they're in Florida right now, and they're going to jump over after that game tonight. They'll jump over to the east coast of Florida, right, down by Sunrise, and they'll be staying in some fancy hotel, which is like, you know, 5-star. I remember when we used to play the Panthers and Lightning, we stay in 5-star hotels. So they get to chill at the pool for 2 days when it's like 78 and 80 degrees there and perfect every day, right? They love that. What do? Go to morning skate, and then they get the rest of the day to golf.
Yeah, having 2 days off before you have to play that game in Sunrise is huge.
They're all going golfing.
And then they go back-to-back Jersey and the Islanders Saturday, Sunday.
Oh, they're up here at the Rock on Saturday.
But that's tough. Late in the year, you're a West Coast team in a playoff race to go and play a whole week on the East Coast. That's not easy for them.
Five of their next six games, let's see, well now, four of their next five are on the road. They only have Chicago at home next Tuesday.
And it looks like on the Sunday the 31st, they do have a game with the Wild left, a big showdown with Minnesota that day, if it's still very close at that point. Big Coyote Wild game on the 31st.
Coyotes and Wild. Oh, that game on the 31st, right. That one is huge. We talked a lot about that team. Didn't we have the guy on talking about him, the reporter? We had him on last, Craig Morgan, talking about the Coyotes. All right, Remy in Cali, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
How you doing, Mr. Burrell? It's always a pleasure to hear you guys go back and forth. And there's a lot of comments that make sense.
Oh, cool.
And a lot of people should pay attention. But anyway, I got these four teams here now. I ain't sure about it all. I'm a facet kind of guy about basketball, but I'm going to pick these final four, but maybe two of them could play it. I got Buffalo, Michigan State, Purdue, and Villanova. And I know Culver City's going, what is wrong with that guy? But That's what I'm picking. And I just wanted to say that I'm a church-going guy, so I got a rose mask going for you guys and for Mr. Burrell and company.
You got a little,
yeah, it's, I got a mission. It's a nationwide mission.
Oh, it's like a mission from God.
You got that right. It's the divine intercession coming, and you guys are going to get covered.
I love that action. Thanks, Remy. He called Carver High Culver City, which I thought was interesting. And he's always told me, since I've known him, I'm Scotty Burrell. Do you remember he played in the NBA?
Yes.
There you go.
I like how he has Buffalo coming out of the West into the Final Four.
Good luck with that.
Stranger things have happened. Hey, listen, they're a sixth seed. They've played well this year.
He's the only person on Earth that has them going. But then again, what if he was right?
How many people had, Sister Jean going to the Final Four last year?
He had Purdue, and they always lose.
In fact, I'd give Buffalo a better chance of going to the Final Four than Purdue, okay? Purdue never gets it done. Never.
Never. Cam in Massachusetts, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
How's it going, bro? Can I get a beer, please?
Yeah, can we get him a beverage, please? There you go, and some drums. What's happening?
Not much. So, given the boxing conversation tonight, I figured I'd ask you this. Apparently, Wilder's going to turn down a $100 million offer to fight Joshua. And, you know, I'm getting really sick of these two. It's like these two, they're just going to circle each other for years until they're both out of their prime. Then they'll fight in like 6 or 7 years when nobody cares, just like Mayweather and Pacquiao, when they have a chance to make a tremendous opportunity for the sport. You have two heavyweights who are completely different styles of boxing. One's technical and sound. One's a thrower and a brawler. One's from the States. One's from England. It's a massive chance for a big payday, whether it's in Vegas or in London. And they just can't figure it out. And they're just being petulant with each other.
Well, I know. It is painful. I will, you know, say this. Look, I saw Wilder. He was at the fight on Saturday in Dallas. And, oh, good talking to you. Always good to have a conversation. Never mind that. Can I just do it in short? That guy is like, I'm sorry, I'm just not buying him as some like, you know, undisputed heavyweight champ at all. He's very disputed. Thank you. You know why? Because Fury beat his ass. Okay? That fat slob beat his ass. You know that big, fat, out of shape pillow handles hanging off of his ass? He beat his ass. I mean, I was there. Mafia, you can't deny it. That guy beat his ass.
He absolutely won that fight. The only reason that he even got the decision that he did, the, you know, stay of execution of the draw, is because of the knockdowns. Other than that, that was all Fury.
That was it. He had two good rounds. He knocked him out in the 12th, the money round. That's why he got the draw. But other than that, he lost. So he's not undisputed anything. And I really don't think he's that great of a heavyweight, to be honest with you. Speaking of a guy that's never really fought anybody, I mean, who do they have in that division but bums? Just a ton of bums in the heavyweight division, right?
Look, I've been saying the same thing that Cam just said for, what, a year here? Like, why can't these two guys
just get it on,
fight? And he's 100% right. It's going to happen like 5 years from now when nobody's going to care anymore.
They won't even care.
Or neither of them are going to be good anymore. That's when it'll happen, and it's sad because right now they're the two best, right? Aren't these two guys the two best heavyweights and allegedly
in the
world?
How could you not put Fury in there?
They're both undefeated, right? Both undefeated.
How could you not put
deal.
Fury?
Now's the time to make this fight. And wasn't Wilder originally, he was willing to go fight him over there.
Yeah.
And that fell apart. And then they were supposed to fight over here. Just, it's a joke.
So,
I'm tired of both.
Did you see Dirk tonight passed Wilt Chamberlain, sixth all-time scorer? That's crazy, right? It really is crazy. He finished with 8 points in 12 minutes. In their 129-125. Did they win the game against the Pelicans? I don't even know. Dallas, I'm looking. They lost. They lost by four. But anyway, he's in his 21st season, and everybody thinks last. But he spent a few years as sixth leading scorer in NBA history before LeBron passed him earlier this season. There you go. But he passed Wilt Chamberlain. How crazy is that? Did anyone ever think that Dirk Nowitzki was going to put up more points in his career than Wilt Chamberlain? I mean, Wilt Chamberlain, we all know, had the 100-point game and everything else. Can you imagine that Dirk Nowitzki did that? He's made 1,963 pointers in his career, 11th in NBA history, and by far the most by a 7-footer. And then the other 7-footers who rank among the NBA's top 10 all-time scorers combined to make a total of 2 3-pointers, one apiece by Abdul-Jabbar and Shaq, with Chamberlain playing his entire career before the three existed. But Dirk could definitely fill it up. His 5,668 scored from the mid-range rank is the most in the NBA in that area during the course of his career. I just love his entire career. He's not going to climb any more rungs on the all-time list. Michael Jordan, a spot above him at 32,292. The top four are Kareem, Malone, Kobe, and LeBron. He said it's surreal at times to be up there with these names. I'm going to really let all that soak in once my career is over and then show my kids. I just think the guy has been an incredible ambassador for the game and for Dallas. You know, does this guy not go down as one of the greatest athletes ever in Dallas history in sports? I mean, it's obvious, right? It's just automatic. 855-212-4CBS.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
So I saw IT tonight when they asked him about the Celtics. The Celtics did a tribute to him tonight. He said, we would have already won a championship already if he didn't get traded. There you go. Isaiah Thomas thinks he would have won a championship in Boston if they wouldn't have traded him. The Pelicans guard Elfrid Payton joined a list of NBA greats on Monday night by recording a triple-double in his 5th straight game. He's a 6-year vet. He joined Westbrook, Oscar Robertson, Wilt Chamberlain, and Michael Jordan as the only players to accomplish the feat. Westbrook's done it 4 times. Robertson did it 3 times. Chamberlain twice. And he averaged 10, 7, and 5 this season and had 19, 11, and 10 in the overtime win at Dallas, which ended a 6-game losing streak for New Orleans. That's crazy. Elfrid Payton, people don't even know who that is, right? I mean, bottom line. Miami has a new starting quarterback, Fitzmagic Carver High. What do you think? The Dolphins, everybody are saying that they're the worst, basically the worst team in the league, that they're going to be tanking.
That's what they're going for.
And so they got Fitzmagic now.
Yeah, well, no, I think that their whole plan is to get Tua next year.
What did you think of Gettleman's little tirade where he said, what did he basically said that the narrative that Eli's overpaid and can't play is a crock? And with the way we ended the season and what he's making, there wasn't a decision to make.
He didn't do himself any favors today. I thought that everything he said was really out of left field. Yelling at the, not yelling, but getting a little loud with the reporters that he doesn't have to tell anybody what his plan is.
That's not his job, he said.
That's not his job.
He's kind of a D, isn't he?
I think so.
But what has he done in his career?
Not really much of anything, I guess. If you add it all,
a whole lot of nothing, right?
I mean, I guess that he gets credit for putting together that Panther team that went to the Super Bowl and lost to Denver. I guess that would be his claim to fame in the league. So.
The Bengals cut Vontaze Burfict. Would you take Burfict on your team with as scary and violent as he is playing football? I mean, if he's on your team, you love him. If you play against him, you hate him. Do you think he's good? Would you take him? If you were Pittsburgh, would you take him? Even though they hate his guts.
Yeah, I think that he still has some game left.
Yeah, I think that aren't the Raiders interested in him already?
Oh, what a surprise.
Everyone's going to the Raiders.
Everybody's going to the Raiders.
Blake Bortles cut a deal with the Rams. How do you like that deal? Do you think he'll do a good job as a backup? That's what I think he is.
I think that the Rams have a problem if any of their backups see the field. If Goff goes out, that they're hurt no matter what. So.
Your boy Andrew Sendejo, he comes on this show, ex-Viking safety, and he's now an Eagle.
Good for him.
There you go. Carver High excited about his career. Clyde Frazier criticizes LeBron James for not being part of the team and says he doesn't really care after he saw him sitting at the end of the bench on his own, leaving his team to have their own huddle and everything else. Do you agree with Clyde Frazier?
Yeah, I'm not usually one of the pile-on LeBron guys, but I got to tell you, I went back and watched it with Clyde talking, and I could see what he was talking about. I mean, LeBron's sitting all the way on the end of the bench. He's talking to Tyson Chandler behind him, and Chandler's wearing a suit. All the other guys are in the huddle. I thought it was a bad look for LeBron, and Clyde pointed it out. I don't think there was anything wrong with that.
Did you see all of the fans? Did they wear shirts to the Garden that said St. Patty says ban Dolan, and then the cops came and made everybody take their shirts off?
Is that
off?
True? I didn't know that part. Yeah. They made him take all the shirts off?
Oh, yeah. They wouldn't let him wear them in the Garden.
Wow.
I mean, that guy is absolutely unbelievable.
He'd be better off just, you know what just he should just do?
Be invisible.
The season's over, right?
Be invisible.
Okay? They've got, what, 10 games left, 12 games left? I don't know how many games left in the NBA season.
Stop going.
Not that many left at the Garden either. Maybe a handful, four, five, six. I think I would just sit the rest of these plays out. Let's just go home for the winter or go home for the summer. Go out to the mansion out in the Hamptons. Just let all the Nick games play out. Let them rebuild in the summer, get the number one pick, get the two players, and then he can come back with a big smile on his face next November with a good team, and I think he should just go away for a little while because the press is getting just – and not that it matters. He said it last week. I'm not going anywhere. Like, I ain't selling the team, and I like sitting courtside.
Did you see –
I'd take a few steps back.
Going back to the Errol Spence guy, did you see the story with Oscar De La Hoya?
You know what it is?
Come fight
when
over here.
When you sent me that, Oscar deleted it.
Oh,
so
did he?
I didn't know what Oscar tweeted that Spence responded to that with.
He said, "You don't treat black fighters well, brother."
But what? So Oscar was telling him to come over to him. Is that what he was doing?
Yeah,
I guess that's not going to go well for Oscar.
Yeah, that's not going to go well. He's like, "Come over here, and I'll really show you what it's like to be promoted."
Especially because isn't Oscar the one that just went and sued Al Haymon, all those guys for messing with his fighters, and he does the same thing?
Does the exact same thing. I don't think Errol Spence needs any help from anybody right now, does he? I mean, that guy is an absolute badass. Kershaw won't be ready for the opener. Carver, can you tell me about the Gio Gonzalez deal?
Sounds like he's going to be joining the Yankees this
week. I like that pickup.
And I believe, Marco could correct me on this if I'm wrong, I believe if the Yankees don't put him on the big league roster by April 20th or something.
30th.
April 30th that he can opt out and I guess go sign with somebody else.
Yeah, it's a minor league deal in essence. It's 1 year, $3 million if he makes the big club. If he's not on the roster by April 30th, he can opt out and he can take his talent somewhere else.
Why wouldn't that guy make that team?
Well, I think right now to make the team would tough because he's only got about a week. I know he's been throwing, but who knows how ready he is. So I don't know if he makes the roster opening day, but with the Yankees having two holes in the rotation, shouldn't take him more than maybe 2.5 weeks. So I think that's why it's April 30th. If he's going to be ready by April 30th, so if he's not on the big league club, it's because the Yankees don't think he's good enough.
Right, but that means he can go start the season in the minors,
right?
And then come up.
Right.
And so they can decide by the end of the month of April.
Is he ready? And then he can decide, do
Please.
I want to keep throwing down here, or do I want to just, you know what, let me go sign somewhere else.
But don't you think that guy can pitch for the Yankees, no problem?
With the holes, yeah. I mean, look, is he as good as he was a few years ago? No. Is he a great starter? No. But is he a good back of the rotation innings eater? Yeah, I think this is win-win for him and the Yankees.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
So what Frank Gore said, he wants to retire a Niner. Is that what he's all clamoring for? He said, I started there and I'm going to finish there. When I'm done, I'm going to come back and retire as a Niner. But he's playing for the Bills, isn't he?
Yeah, so that's no big deal. I mean, he played the bulk of his career with the Niners.
Special. Special place.
I got no problem with that.
In my heart for you and the Niner fans and all the cheese and cracker eating fans they have. Your number one seeds in the NIT are Greensboro, Alabama, TCU, and Indiana. And I think the only team that's good in that whole lot is Greensboro. They're tough. They could have played against anybody. Duke back on top as usual. The ACC is 1-2-3 in the final top 25 AP poll. It's Duke, Virginia, North Carolina, Gonzaga. There's your number one seeds for the tournament as well. Michigan State's fifth. They're already complaining about their seedings. And, you know, bracket and who they have to play. Is there anything worse than, like, a top team crying like bees when they just is there anything that this guy, honestly, Izzo and his team doesn't cry about? I mean, you just won the Big Ten Championship. Just shut up and go play. I mean, why are you crying before it even starts, honestly?
No, they're good at that. That's for
I don't understand it. What's wrong? They have nothing wrong with them.
They all cry. All these teams cry.
Did you see that kid blow out his ankle yesterday in that game?
I did not see that.
So one of their seniors, like a fifth-year senior, this kid blew out his ankle. I mean, they carried him off. They stopped the game for it. It was a whole scene. Everyone was crying, both teams, like players, because the guy like just ripped his ankle to shreds. You saw him just land on someone's foot and his whole ankle went. Ah! He was screaming in agony too, by the way. Tennessee 6, Kentucky 7, Michigan. There's nothing worse than the ankles and knees when and Achilles when they blow out for basketball players. Michigan's 8, Texas Tech 9, Florida State ended 10th, Houston 11. How about Houston, 31-3? They get no respect at all. No one, I mean, literally no one thinks they're for real. 31-3.
Now's the time to show it.
Prove it. LSU is 12th, Purdue 13th. Carver High adamant about Purdue losing in the tournament. Auburn's 14, Buffalo 15, 31-3. Do you think Buffalo goes anywhere in the tournament?
I think they could win a game.
Whoa. There you go, Carver High getting involved.
Unfortunately for them, I believe that if they did win a game, they would get Texas Tech in the second round, and I like Texas Tech to go to the Final Four. So
double-digit upsets in the there's been 46 double-digit upsets based on a point spread since the tournament expanded in 85. The largest in that span, March 16th of 2012, a round of 64, Norfolk State against Missouri. Missouri was laying 21.5. And
I think last year Virginia was 20.5, right?
Anyway, Norfolk won that game 86-84. What? Virginia.
Last year Virginia was 20.5. They were the only one.
20.5. And they lost 74-54. They got their ass beat.
They got whooped.
By a 16. Here you go. Number 15, Santa Clara against number 2, Arizona in 93. In the round of 64, Arizona was laying 20, and Santa Clara beat them by 3. A number 4 pick is Coppin State against South Carolina. South Carolina was laying 18.5. This is in 97. Coppin State beat them 78-65. Tie for 5th all-time, Hampton against Iowa State. Iowa State was laying 17.5 in 2001. Hampton beat them by 1. And then Little Rock against Notre Dame. Notre Dame was laying 17.5, and Little Rock beat them 90-83. I've seen those kind of games. I remember in 86 when Cleveland State beat Indiana. It always sucks, but it's going to happen. It'll happen again this year. Anyway, number 7 was in 2016, Middle Tennessee against Michigan State. Michigan State was laying 16.5, and Middle Tennessee beat them 90-81. The tournament, they know how to do this stuff. The selection committee always does a great job, I think, of putting these tournaments together, and then everybody thinks they see the bracket, it's all so easy. And then, you know, by week 2, all hell breaks loose, and it's just, you know, chaos, and no one ever gets anything right at the end of the day. Kevin in Maryland, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Oh, man, your boys are doing it tonight. Vegas, Golden Knight did it for me big time. I just don't like San Jose. They just... they're very disappointed. Everybody's picking them to win it all. I just don't think they're going to win the Stanley Cup. I love the way Vegas is playing right now. They're surging just like they were last year. Amazing what they're doing right now.
Yeah, I don't know anyone really, to be honest with you, that's saying the San Jose Sharks are winning the Stanley Cup. I think I've heard some people say they've got a shot at it. Carver, have you really heard anyone say they're winning at all, like automatic?
The previews before the year started.
Oh, yeah. I'm with you there that, like, when they got Carlson, I said I thought they were the team in the West that'll come out of it. But I'm not sure. Oh, I don't believe that anymore because he's, you know, he's banged up. So, and I also don't think that he makes the whole team. I think with him, they're a good team, a really good team. Without him, I think they're still the same old Sharks.
Yeah, I still believe. I haven't really figured out who I'm going to pick yet to go to the final. I'm going to wait for the bracket once we get there. But
you got
to
see who's playing.
Those five teams, I'm not. They're separate from everyone else. And Vegas right now, 9 out of 10, they have won since getting Stone at the trade deadline.
Right.
They have played great hockey. They whacked the Sharks tonight. Vegas could be the hot team heading in.
Wow. Can you imagine if they go back to the Stanley Cup Finals again?
They're playing at that level right now.
Kevin, what did you want to say about Belmont?
Belmont, yes. Did you hear the news? Their center, their freshman of the year, is back. He is back. Nick, the 6'11" center. He averaged like 4.9, 5.8 rebounds. I think he's going to really help. I think Belmont gets to the Sweet 16. Maybe. I mean, I don't think it can beat Michigan State or Duke, but I think it can get to the Sweet 16. I've worked a lot of Maryland games out here, and I think Maryland's awful. And I think Nebraska will do well in the NIT.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, it sounds juicy. Everybody, like, I've heard you say it. I've heard a bunch of other people say it as well, that Belmont's going deep into the tournament, and I'm just not buying that.
slip it in that I think Nebraska will do well in the NIT there at the
end.
Did
he slip that in there?
He slipped that in, too.
Here we go. Based on internet searches, endorsements, and social media followings, the list of the world's most famous athletes. Here it is. Cristiano Ronaldo, number one. Then LeBron, two. Messi, three. Neymar, four. Conor McGregor, five. Roger Federer, six. Virat Kohli. Who is that? Carver Hyde, you know who Virat Kohli is?
He's a cricket player.
There you go. Rafa Nadal is number 8, Steph Curry 9, and Tiger Woods number 10. A little surprise the cricket guy made the list.
You got to remember, it's a worldwide list
worldwide
of
game.
And in some parts of the world, that's the biggest game.
Your boy Thomas Greiss, one of the players of the week.
The number one player of the week. He was the first
top star.
Top star in the NHL this week.
Had a big week, apparently.
3-1. Really low goals against, and the Islanders had a good week.
Chris Sale named the opening day starter for the Red Sox. There you go. How about your boy Wayne Rooney? Did you see the hat trick? He had a nice little game the other day. I was actually enjoying watching him light up people in the MLS.
Yeah, good job by Wayne this weekend.
It's nice to see someone, you know.
Well,
like,
we've seen this with all these guys, that when they're done and they're not at the same level in Europe anymore, they come over here, whether it's David Villa for
David
a few
Villa.
Years with NYCFC. We've seen a few guys come over here and do it.
And David Villa still plays for New York, right?
No, he's gone.
Oh, that's it? It's over?
Last year was his last year.
Really?
Yeah.
Why did he stop
playing?
He's
having some farewell tour out in, I don't even know where he went to, but he's done with them.
So is he still in the MLS or he
went
somewhere?
No. He's
done.
I think he went to one of the Asian league, I think, one of those leagues.
And then did you see your boy Rory a winner this weekend at
I
the
did.
Players?
He did. Came from behind as Jon Rahm completely choked down the stretch. Good job, buddy.
There you go. Donnie in Calgary for Alberta. You're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hi, Pharrell. How you doing?
Hey, man.
Being a Calgary fan is pretty exciting, seeing what's going on for our team this year.
Right.
I think we're a little too small to go far in the playoffs, but I'm thinking Winnipeg and Tampa. I was going to ask who your thoughts were, but you guys said you wanted to wait for the bracket.
No, I'm cool with it. I think Tampa's a very dangerous team, and I don't even know what you're talking about. Like, they're too small to do well. They're a first-place team. You don't have that many points because you suck. I mean, the Flames are a good hockey team. They're not bad at all. I think they have very few weaknesses. I mean, a couple. But you don't, you know, in my view, sit in first place and where they are today and say they're, you know, too small to do anything in the Stanley Cup playoffs. I mean, they can beat anybody.
I don't think that they're too small. I mean, I know that there are times this year that they have a lot of offensive talent and they can somehow look like they're playing a bit of a pond hockey game, but they have some tough guys on that team, whether it be Tkachuk or a couple of their guys on the blue line. I think what worries me the most about the Flames is that they're one of the five that I talk about, but the other four teams all have experience and history of going far in the playoffs, and the Flames don't. And that worries me for them against those other four teams.
So you're saying that, you know, they, despite the fact that they've won the Stanley Cup before, that let's say lately in the last decade or more, that they don't get it done.
I'm talking about this team that they currently have constituted.
Right.
They have done nothing. The guys on their team have done nothing. They have a couple
They've never
guys,
won in a –
This group has not won,
right.
Whereas – Vegas went to the finals last year.
Right.
Sharks and Nashville have been to the finals. Winnipeg,
so there's no
two deep runs. They don't have the playoff experience that these other teams do.
All right, just so you know, Dana White got a new 7-year deal with the UFC, apparently today or somewhere in the last couple of days. I don't know when. But he signed the deal with Endeavor, the majority owner of UFC, and the deal has been confirmed. He's 49 years old, and he continues on with the UFC. He did mention that nothing he does at all is about the money, which is where I spit up my dinner. That's the funniest thing I've ever heard. Everything's about money in everything. Everything's about money in everything, okay? Let's just establish that right now. Everything's about money. And certainly, you don't think the UFC is about money? Everything they're doing, everything they do currently or in the past has been about money. It says the Padres and Indians are still engaged in talks on Kluber and Bauer. Eric Berry meeting with the Cowboys. I'm just seeing some of this late stragglers in here. I see this other story. Did you see the story? Jay Gruden has not been consulted on any free agency moves in D.C. They just get whoever they want and don't tell him.
I don't know what they're doing over there.
That just can't be good.
How about them signing Eric Flowers today? That guy was a turnstile for the Giants.
Everyone went right past him.
Everybody went right past him.
That is true. Did you see this story being reported that Doc Rivers wants the Lakers job? That goes over well with Ballmer and the Clippers.
Yeah, I'm sure that they would really be thrilled with that.
That just sounds like a lawsuit waiting to happen, doesn't it?
That's just as good as the Lakers are going to go back to the forum. You put that right in that pile.
They really were too terrible. Hey, did you see real quick Bogut playing with the Warriors?
No.
So he's playing with the Warriors again. Cousins rolled his ankle or whatever. They say the X-rays are fine. But Bogut's back from Australia, where he was not only the offensive player of the year, also the defensive player of the year in the Pro League. In Australia, down under. The guy's old, whatever. He's had a lot of injuries in the NBA, but the bottom line is this. I saw him tonight dunking at will, and that guy knows how to run the pick and roll with the Warriors like no other. Remember, he played with them for a long time. That guy fits on that team like a glove, and if he's healthy and he's playing healthy in the playoffs and just the minutes that he gives them in the burn and the size and his ability to do that pick and roll and finish around the rim and play their style of basketball, it's fitting like a glove, literally. All right, there you go. Don't forget, Pharrell and the Bets tomorrow morning, 6:30 on iTunes. Subscribe free. Check out that and Pharrell on the bench.com for Carver High and Mafia and Pharrell. See you tomorrow night again at 10. We're here live all week in New York tonight.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.